Mid-America Renewal Conference is happening September 6th and 7th, 2018. That's the first Thursday and Friday of September this year. And this conference is going to be absolutely incredible. You're not going to want to miss it. Bring your entire team out, music ministers, youth pastors, assistants, department leaders, volunteers, saints, everybody come out September 6th and 7th to mark. It's going to feature the music and join in worship with Indiana Bible College choir, chorale, and praise. And then the speaker lineup is just phenomenal this year. We have Brother Cornwell from Kansas kicking us off on Thursday evening. Brother Lamonis following that the same evening. And then Friday morning, we're going to have Brother Jason Staton from Maryland, Brother Mark Brown from South Dakota. And then we will come back on Friday evening and hear from our president, Brother Paul Mooney. Following him Friday night will be Brother Mullins from California. So you can see that the speakers, the worship, it's just going to be an incredible event. You're not going to want to miss this event. September 6th and 7th, circle it on your paper calendar, add an event on your digital calendar, whatever you have to do to remind yourself to get here. September 6th and 7th, we look forward to seeing you at Mark this year. This week on the Indiana Bible College podcast, we're excited to bring you another IBC alumni preaching at Mark Conference, this time not from 2017, but from 2016. Brother Josh Carson currently serves as the UPCI Youth Ministries President and is doing an excellent job. We're glad to bring you compliments of Mark 2016, Brother Carson preaching a message entitled, Homesick.
Come on, let's magnify the name of Jesus. Come on, would you love him right now? Because not only did he forgive you, but he washed it away. We honor you, Lord Jesus. Kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes over there will be spoken. How many believe that? For time won't matter, won't matter anymore. Do we still believe in heaven? Sing it with me, Beulah Land. Beulah Land. Come on, sing it out tonight. I'm longing for. That's beautiful. Come on, lift your voice and sing it. And someday, on thee I'll stand. Oh, yes. There my, think about that. There my home shall. With what I feel is a weighty assignment for a man of my age, with the men that I hold of such high esteem behind me. But I do come with a word from heaven, and I feel security in that tonight. I turn your attention to 2 Kings, the 20th chapter. I am so honored at the opportunity to stand here and have such great respect for Brother Mooney, the leadership of this church, certainly those that are here as a part of this ministry team and the leaders that I will not take the time to name, but I love and respect them. I believe every man on this platform at one time or another has spoken into my life, and I love and appreciate them for that. I honor my district superintendent tonight, Brother Jordan. Thank you for that kind introduction. 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, say, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, because it's time to die. You're not going to live any longer. Verse 2, the Bible says he turned his face to the wall. He turned away from the word of the Lord, which was really something quite beautiful that had happened from the Lord to Isaiah the prophet for the king. And he turned his face away from the prophet and away from the word of God, and his face to the wall, and he prayed to the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. He was sad when God said it's time to come home. Verse 6, if you will. Before Isaiah could even get through the courtyard, the word of the Lord had come to him and said, he's prayed, turn again to him and let him know these words. And Isaiah spoke and said, I'll add unto thy days 15 years. Tonight I want to preach on this thought, homesick. Homesick. I want you to throw your hands towards heaven and ask that God would have his way over the next few moments here. Would you pray that with me? God, I feel your anointing, but I pray that you would make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, that I might speak with wisdom and clarity under great anointing from the Spirit of God, which I feel resting on this place. I thank you for the confirmation by the words which have already been spoken through your servant tonight. And I ask that you would help me make every heart, every mind ready. Let he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And help me to articulate in such a way that it would be not only receivable but palatable, and that it can be applied to our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. And let everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. For those of you that don't know me, I am married to a beautiful, godly woman named Rachel. She told me she's watching the live stream. I will quiz her later. And we have 4 amazing children. That's enough reason for you to pray for me. 3 of them are boys, Brother Mooney. 3 of my 4, yeah, felt that. And when you have 3 boys, you learn how to cut hair. You know how expensive that would be for me and my 3 boys to go get a haircut? You know how cheap it is to pick up a pair of clippers? Went through one season in our family where every boy had a buzz cut. Just had to figure it out. Got it down now where I can cut their hair, I think, pretty good, and nobody typically tells me otherwise. They may just be flattering me, but you know, it's been a process. We sent them to school a couple times, not looking great, but I think we've got there. And they like it cut a certain way, and everyone, my oldest son just joined the youth group, and so he likes his a little bit different. And then my 9-year-old, who is just all he wants to wear is sweatpants every day. That's all he cares about. Basketball shoes and sweatpants every day. He wants his hair done a little bit different. Well, my youngest son is 4 years old, and here not long ago, this last year, I was cutting his hair and had got it just done perfectly and stopped and stepped back. You know, I was admiring my work, Brother Kinsey. I'd done good work. And I stepped back and was looking at it. And as I was looking at it, he looked up at me and I showed him the mirror. I said, what do you think? He said, I like it. He said, but Daddy, I said, what? He said, Daddy, cut me a bald spot right here so I can look like you. I didn't know whether I wanted to hug him or punt him across the room, Brother St. Clair. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but there's something in the heart and in the mind of that little boy that he just wants to be like me. I fear it dangerous that if we are not careful, somewhere along our way in this journey, we lose our desire just to be like him. 2 Kings chapter 18, reading about Hezekiah, we find that Hezekiah shows up on the scene following his father Ahaz, who had done wickedly in the sight of the Lord. And yet Hezekiah shows up on the scene and begins to do great exploits for the Lord. It came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the king of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. Think about this, young people. He was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David had done. He removed the high places. He broke down the images. He cut down the growth. This is what you were just preaching about. He was eliminating sin among the people. He even broke down that old brazen serpent that Moses had put up because somewhere along the way they had started worshiping the method and started offering incense to that serpent. And he broke that down and said, if that's what we're going to do is pervert the things which God has used to save us, then we need to break it down. The Bible says he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. He even smote the Philistines. But sometime in his late 30s, Hezekiah became seriously ill. He told Isaiah, Isaiah told him in our opening text, that he was to prepare for death. But as we read, he earnestly prays for an extension of his life, and God promises him 15 more years, even promises him deliverance from the Assyrians. Hezekiah stops after Isaiah comes to him and says, the Lord's heard your petition, Brother Jordan. And he says, okay, then what will my sign be? We don't understand exactly what it was that brought Hezekiah to this place. But he came to a place on his sickbed after years of doing righteously before the Lord. And it's as if God showed up and said, you've done exactly what I wanted you to do. But Hezekiah is bitter over this. He wept sore, the Bible says, and prays to God. And God grants him this request in the terms of 15 more years. But we have to read on in the story to understand the downfall which occurs. Sometime after his recovery, Hezekiah received that delegation with presents from Merodach-Baladan of Babylon to congratulate him on his return to health. However, the real objective of the visit was probably to enlist Hezekiah as an ally in a conspiracy against Assyria. And we read in Scripture that the king showed the Babylonian envoys all of the gold and all of the silver and all of the valuables which they possessed. This act brings a warning from Isaiah that the day was going to come when those treasures would be carried away to Babylon. Because it's never the will of God for us to flaunt what God has given us. In his prayer, Hezekiah on his deathbed said, God, will you remember me that I am a man of a pure heart? But 2 Chronicles 32 verse 25 tells us that Hezekiah was guilty in this moment of a proud heart. If it ever ceases to be about his kingdom and starts to be about my kingdom, I can leave purity and walk into pride very quickly. Why did Hezekiah weep bitterly? Why was Hezekiah undone at the prospect and the announcement of death? We would believe, hopefully, as Christians today and say, Lord, bring me home. But some would argue and say, well, Hezekiah didn't have this promise yet. Hezekiah didn't understand these things. He could not have had such a longing for the presence of God. I beg to differ with that. If he didn't have such a longing for the things of God, why was he knocking down idols? Why was he breaking down every evil thing? Why was he addressing the people to call on the name of the Lord? I believe that Jesus Christ is started and easily pointed to in the Old Testament. I don't think you separate Christ from the Old Testament. I think it was always working to him. I said, I think it was always working to Jesus Christ. I don't think that oneness just accidentally happened. That was always the way it was. And because Christ was always there, I would admit to you that I don't believe heaven was a backup plan. I think heaven was a part of the original. Might I return us to Genesis 1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I think that there was a longing even in men of the Old Testament. While they might not have understood it the way that we see it written in the New Testament, there was a longing for the presence of God. We look no further than early in Scripture when Enoch was not, because the Lord translated him or took him out of this place. We can read down through Hebrews 11. And when they start looking at the account of this man, they reference Enoch. And then they talk about Noah, and the writer said Noah, being warned of God and things is not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out and he didn't even know where he was going. He just sojourned to a land of promise. And the words were this: he looked for a city. My God. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The Bible runs through Hebrews 11 and then says all of these, they sought the promise, but they couldn't obtain it. But they saw it from afar. They saw it from afar off, and it was enough for them to say, the journey is worth it. I know everybody doesn't agree with this, but Noah said, I'm going to build the boat anyway. I know everybody don't understand, but Abraham said, I'm going to sacrifice him if I have to. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is the Lord. Woo! In 2 Peter, in the New Testament, when Peter wanted to talk about heaven, he did not look into the New Testament writ. He reached all the way back to the prophet Isaiah. Give us some New Testament description of heaven. Peter said, no, that's not really necessary. He reached back to Isaiah and said, Isaiah talked about a day coming when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Can this 35-year-old preacher tell you something tonight? I think we've got to keep preaching heaven. I think we, in this world that is chaotic and lost in sin, and your generation that's on their way to a devil's hell, we need to let them know there is an answer. There is remission for sin, but it's not just so I live good here. It's because soon and very soon, soon and very soon, we're going. I'm telling you, we need to get heaven back in the front of our mind. The reason I live this way is I got heaven on my mind. I don't preach this way to impress. I'm preaching this message because I got heaven. Woo! Lately, all I've got, sleeping on my mind. Oh, no, no. Young men, don't talk that way. because we want to acquire wealth and have careers. God pinned me to the floor when you asked me to come to this conference, and he asked me these questions. Joshua, when's the last time you prayed, Lord, come quickly? Come on, saints of God. When's the last time we buried our face in the carpet and said, take the house, but give me Jesus. Take the car, but give me heaven. Take my wealth. Take my riches. The number one reason I have found in 16 years of ministry that sinners don't want it worse is because they don't think we love it enough. I want him more than I want anything. I want to be like him. I want to walk like him. I want to talk like him, because this is not my final resting place. This is momentary. I'm a pilgrim here. This is only for a short while. I wish you'd throw your hands towards heaven right now and pray, God, baptize me with anticipation for heaven. Come on, really pray that for a second. God, if you could just give me a glimpse of heaven. If you could just let a glimpse of heaven get on us in this house. Shake us, God. Shake us to where we can't sit through church and act like it's just another byproduct of the week. Shake us until we can't forget the day we came trembling to an altar and cried tears on that carpet. Shake us until we can't forget talking in tongues until we couldn't stop and laying our head to the pillow at night and thinking, I'm ready, I'm ready. Heaven, 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 heaven. That's why you're living this. I preach enough camps and conferences, I think you can allow me to say this. Not much preaching on heaven or hell lately. Because there is a philosophy and an ideology that has crept into this world, and it has taken a root in many of our churches that is all about the kingdom here. You only live once. Come on. Just make it the best you can while you've got it. You do live once, forever. Forever. Anybody ever tried to get your mind to wrap around how long eternity is? Brother Layman, sometimes every now and then I try to think and fathom eternity. Anybody ever do this and you just go, finally you got to shake your head like, stop thinking about it. Because it's for, we can't, we in our finite mind, we can't. Brother Pettigo, we really can't wrap our minds, but it's real. It's real. And if it, and if we know it's real, we better live like it's real. If I believe in heaven, I'm not worried at all about quitting sinning. I want to be saved so I don't go to hell. Hogwash. I don't want to go to hell, but that's not why I want to be saved. I want to be saved because I want to go to heaven. Because I've got, I'm going to preach this like I feel it right now. There is an attack against the mentality of the church trying to get us to believe exactly what you were preaching about. As long as we just come and punch our spiritual time clock, that everything will be fine and there will be no eternal consequence, when the reality is you're not promised tomorrow. Here's why I believe Hezekiah wept. The prophet Isaiah said in the 39th chapter, Hezekiah said, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, he's looking at Hezekiah and talking to him. He said, everything in your house, that which thy fathers have laid up, my God, everything the elders that came before you, oh, you think if you walk away it only hurts you? The reason I talked about those four babies at the beginning, because if my generation stops preaching heaven, they're not going to know anything about it. Said everything, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Thing about your father that they laid up in store unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing is going to be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, they shall take them away. They're not only going to take your stuff, they're going to take your children. They're going to be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Some of the most devastating words of Scripture come from this hero king who turned his heart and said to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. For there shall at least be peace in my days. So if the Lord tarries, I'm going to preach for my children tonight. Somewhere along the way, Hezekiah stopped fighting sin and started collecting gold. Somewhere along the way, it stopped being about driving out the enemy and it started becoming about gathering wealth. To which this young preacher would speak tonight with heaven in my view. As one this Pentecostals, heaven ought to always be at the forefront of our minds as the eternal place of communion with Jesus Christ. This is not some once upon a time fairy tale. This is not something that the philosophy professor at your school can get you to forget about or try to reason with you about. And I don't care what your teacher told you. Heaven is real. It is a place of eternal communion with God. Matthew tells us, lay not up for yourself treasures here on this earth where moth and where doth corrupt. But there's going to be thieves that break up and steal. But I'm telling you where you need to lay your treasures. Somewhere just beyond the other shore. I'm looking for a city. My God, I wish somebody just lift your voice and say, I'm looking. When you get your eyes on heaven, you can't keep your eyes on your problem. When you get your eyes on Jesus. I grew up in a little southern, small church in southern Illinois. They sing those old songs, like what I sang when this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We kind of chuckle now. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond. Remember the? And when they were really feeling it, Sister Robin would get on the organ. And I could see Brother Gurley saying, I knew it was coming. All 17 guitars would get going. Brother Keller, they'd fire off, oh, I want to see him and look upon. Yeah. Remember that? Of his saving grace on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares on past. I said, oh, I want to see him and look upon his face. Oh, there to sing. And I said, on the streets of glory, cares on past. Woo! I bet that's happened a time or two here at Calvary.
Yeah.
I bet there's been a couple dozen times when Brother Mooney went, kind of worked his way to the pulpit. I used to love that when I'd be at IBC. He just kind of, won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Now listen, I know those might seem old and they might seem country, Brother Marvin, but here's what I know. As a little boy, when they'd start singing about heaven, God would show up every single time. He'd show up every time. And I'm not saying we need to go back in time, but I am saying we need a fresh baptism with an anticipation for heaven. We need a little bit of that over yonder to hit our spirit. We need a little bit of that by and by to creep when it gets up inside of us to where you don't care what people think or say. I don't think we need to reserve those songs for funerals.
No. No. No.
Every now and then a little by and by ought to get on you, Brother. By and by when the morning comes. Where I'm just reminded, wait a minute, I'm just a pilgrim in this land. They don't like me, but he loves the way I'm living. My parents can't stand that I'm trying to dress holy and righteous, but man, I got my eyes on something. When you get your eyes on heaven, you don't care about popularity or you don't care about social status. You don't care about the esteem of friends. I got a word for some of you right now. Quit trying to impress people that wouldn't like you anyway. And quit trying to impress people you wouldn't like if they were your friend. You are not like everybody else. You are a blood Holy Ghost believer. You've been baptized in the name of Jesus. You've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, am I talking to any tongue talkers? I got any apostolic tongue talkers in the... Make fun of my outfit if you want to. I got my eyes on heaven. Can I... Listen, it's my job right now to lead the youth of this organization. So I'm going to preach this. When your eyes are on heaven, you don't conform to the ideologies of this world. You don't weaken your lifestyle disciplines. I recognize we're in a new generation, but there are some things that will always be sin. Abomination was not allowed in heaven then, and it will not be allowed there now. Living unrighteous and ungodly was not acceptable then, and it's not acceptable now. Let me preach into the future. Canaan, if you watch this DVD or whatever it is in 10 or 15 years from now, sin will still be sin, and truth will still be. And if God hasn't come back yet, he will be coming back soon. We got to keep the sin out of our life. We got to keep the impurity out of our soul. Because this world is not our home. I want you to throw your hands towards heaven right now. And I want you to pray that prayer again. Baptize me. Baptize my family with an anticipation for heaven. God, I pray over every Bible college student, every choir member, and everyone sitting in this audience that you would give them a longing for heaven. I know you want to get married, but you got to want heaven more. I know you want to own a home, but you got to want heaven more. I know you want a career, but you got to want heaven more. I want him more than my family. I want him more than my house. I want him more than my riches. I want you to like me, but I want him to be pleased with me more than anything. Yeah, I believe in heaven. Brother Johnson, I believe in heaven. I believe it is real. I believe it is a reality. I believe there is a great cloud of witnesses.
That's right.
Hallelujah. maybe seated for a second. I like when you're saying it makes me feel better, but my mom would say, let the people sit down. I believe John the Revelator saw heaven. We do say that. We say there's no doubt. But there's an attack against this, Brother Jordan. Heaven is, it's kind of like this Play-Doh reality. There's something, and then there's this, and this can never really match. But John, isolated on that aisle. Let me just take a moment and read scripture. God, I feel it. Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. I hope we build the biggest buildings we can while he gives us time. But they're all coming down. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. It's really what that song, Beulah Land, is all about. It's only mentioned one place in the whole Bible. Beulah is mentioned one time in reference to Jerusalem there in the book of Isaiah. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men and will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There's going to be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for former things are going to be passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true, and these words are faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst from the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. John goes on, and he describes what my grandma told me when she pulled me up on her knee. She was a Sunday school teacher for 47 years, and she pulled me up on her knee and would tell me about heaven based on John's account laying there on that aisle. He said, there's going to be walls of justice, and there's going to be gates of pearl. Well, isn't that a cute fairy tale? That is so sweet, John. No. He said there will be walls of jasper. There will be gates of pearl. John writes about the streets of pearl, pure gold, as clear as glass. The walls of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And then he goes on and says, and there will be no temple, for God and the Lamb was the temple of it. And there was no need for sun or moon, because the Lamb is the light. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. I don't care if you don't believe it. It's real. I don't care if the atheist doesn't believe. It's real. I don't care if the church down the road stopped preaching. It is real. And I got news for you. I'm going there someday, and I know it doesn't make sense, and I'm not looking for death, and it's right to fight for life, but I find myself in the state of this world saying, come, Lord. That's counterculture. How are we going to reach the world, Brother Carson? God, infinite in his wisdom and perfect in his timing, knows all things above what we could even begin to consider. But I find my spirit stirred, saying, come quickly. When our kids are fighting oppression to even try to carry a Bible into their school, but the same-sex marriage agenda I preach this, that all right? This is the generation I'm fighting for right now. Fighting for my babies right now. So forgive me, but I would say this. In the face of everything hell is throwing at our generation, if we have ever had a time or a season to square our shoulders and get on the offensive and pray, God, come quickly. This is that day and this is that hour. I believe that as God begins to return, there is a shaking, there is an awakening that is going to happen across. I think if people really knew how close we were, we couldn't keep the church doors open enough. We couldn't preach long. We wouldn't worry about 45-minute sessions because people would just want to be in the house of God saying, preach the truth to me. Preach the word to me. Tell me what I need to know. Get me to heaven. Brother Strout, I love my elders. I love you, appreciate you. I refuse to let what my fathers acquired be lost when I get handed the microphone. Young preacher, hear me right now. This is not about your gifting, your talent, or your ability. This is about the kingdom of God. Nothing short, nothing less. When our perspective turns from off of our kingdom and onto His, it will change our behavior. It will change our behavior. Because something that's coming with this mentality that's trying to establish our own little kingdom here on the world is also trying to diminish what has been a steeple in the foundation of the apostolic truth, and that has been our exuberant worship. I got like seven people, amen, in me, real strong. Most. Every now and then, you ought to have a thought of heaven hit you. When it hits you, you don't care who sees you run aisles. You don't care who sees you dance. I'm not just trying to stir your emotions, but some of you feel if I could get your emotions, I might could get to your spirit. When's the last time you danced like nobody was watching? You just shouted with nothing but heaven on your mind and nothing but the eternal glory. I want to be with Jesus. I want to be like Him. I want to be righteous. Make fun of me if you want, but I'm going to worship. Make fun of me if you want, but I'm not living to be like this. When I was a kid going to conference, I'd wait to see how long it took them. Because you know they're coming. Before they ever strike a good note, somebody's going to be in the altar. And don't care about you at all. And the reality is, it's easier to smirk and look than it is to join. But the truth of the matter is, you're much more worried about them than they are about you. Anybody ever had one of those moments where you just worshiped and you got done and you thought, I got a little carried away. I'm probably going to feel that later. I got a little carried away. But I found out 13 years on staff in northeastern Ohio, I'd rather have to try to calm down the ones that get too carried away than try to warm up the bump on a log that's forgot that eternity hangs. There's this little thought that's hovering, and I feel like the enemy of our soul has tried to whisper to me, Josh, by the time your kids get old enough to be in the ministry at all, this whole holy roller thing will be lost to them. By the time they get old enough to testify in youth service, They won't even run aisles anymore. Come on, let's be honest here. Let's be honest here tonight. Let's just help one another. We still do it, but I don't know that we do it like we used to. Lord Jesus, help the young preacher. When I was a kid and they'd start singing those songs about heaven, I remember watching John. I'd see it coming on him. He couldn't help it. I'd see it. I'd see it coming. Man, somewhere his legs would start going. He'd start dancing. He's just dancing. I mean, I'm talking a big burly dude. But when it hit him, he was gone. But man, I'm telling you, it was like a match to dry kindling. Because when he'd start dancing, it would hit that place. And all of a sudden, it didn't matter if the keyboard was getting struck on tune. It didn't matter if we had praise or three people that couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. All of a sudden, it was about heaven, and it wasn't about the earth. And it wasn't about who was watching. First time I ever danced in church, Brother Strout, I was 7 years old. I'll never forget it. I was in Cleburne, Texas at that time. Lived there for 3 years. We were in a prayer line. Remember prayer lines? I was in a prayer line. Going down the whole way down. I can remember it. 30 years later, I can remember it. Praying the whole way down that prayer line. God, let me dance tonight. I didn't know you could just dance. Mom probably never told me because she thought I'd go crazy. Whole way down. Every step. God, please, I want to dance tonight. I've never danced. I see these people that can dance. It looks awesome. I want to dance. I can't explain what happened when Bishop laid his hand on my head. To this day, I can tell you, I just remember losing control. When I finally stopped dancing, we had those altars stretched in the area down front, and they were kind of sectioned off, about 10-foot sections, and I had danced into one and scooted it all the way across, and I didn't remember that. And I'm going to tell you, something happened to me 30 years ago in that moment where I found out when I start worshiping God, everything begins to change in my life. I lose my mindset about what is important. I'm preaching to somebody right now. If you'll get your mind back on Calvary and off of your financial position, if you'll get your mind back on heaven and off of your portfolio, if you'll get your mind back on heaven and get it off the troubles of this world, there might be a little worship creep back up in your spirit. It'd be good if some of you went home tonight and said, I ain't danced like that in 30 years. I haven't shouted like that in 15 years. Some of you ought to be able to walk home and say, I forgot about it, but man, it feels good. It feels good to get heaven back on my mind. I wish if you could leap in your body, you'd just do it a little bit right now. I wish if you could, you'd just let go a little bit right now. Heaven, go ahead, young people. Braxton, I wish you would run a little bit. I like to know that young people still run aisles. I like to know that the church is still filled with worshipers. We do not fit in with this world because this world is not our home. Brother Carson, that don't make any sense. It does in the kingdom. It does in the kingdom. It's not about my glory. It's about his glory. It's not about my gold. It's not about my silver. It's not about my wants. It's not about my desires. It's about the kingdom of God. choir, I want you to throw your hands towards heaven. I've sat where you sit. I've been in your spot. I want you to hear this preacher right now. You better fall in love with the kingdom of God. Fall in love with worshiping Him. Fall in love with giving yourself unashamedly, unabashedly before the Lord. Fall in love with worship. Bishop, I want you to pray for me for a second. I believe in this generational thing. I believe in transition. I pray the anointing of our forefathers. I pray the anointing of those that have come before. I pray that there would be a transference. I pray that there would be an impartation, a longing for the glory and the reality of heaven. Come on, lift your voice and give Him praise. Heaven, 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 heaven. When you get heaven on your mind, you don't have 4 hours a night for Facebook. When you get heaven on your mind, you can't binge watch on Netflix. When you get heaven on your mind, heaven, 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 heaven. If you're willing, I want you to step out of your aisle, out of your pew, and I just want you to come and stand at the front for a moment. You kids that are crying out, you young people, you young adults, don't stop that. You moms and dads and ministers and pastors that hell's been trying to wreak havoc in your church or in your marriage. Woo! If you're not praying, I want you to hear me. Isaiah gave a little prophecy about what it was like in the presence of God. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. It was a day when the king was not allowed to enter into the temple. And his penalty, in fact, for trying to enter in and serve in the office of a priest, he was struck with leprosy. But Isaiah said, I see one that is both king and priest. He sits on the throne, but His train filled the temple. and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Here's what we need to do right now at the conclusion. If you've not caught it yet, you need to lift your voice towards heaven and lift your eyes towards glory and begin to cry, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Come on, would you lift your voice and cry holy? Would you cry those tears and cry holy? Would you shout out to God? Come on, each holy. Come on, choir, we got to be holy because he's holy. Come on, preacher, we got to be holy. Because we've got heaven on our mind. Come on, Sister Elder. If our generation of young ladies have ever needed your apostolic witness, we need it right now. Please let this individual that's been commissioned by God to speak to this generation to call for your assistance, elders, and tell you we need to still watch it. Call out to God. Keep crying out to God. Holy, holy. If you've been overwhelmed, you ought to lift your hands and cry, Holy. If you've been battling your memory and you haven't been able to feel the purity of redemption, you need to lift your hands and cry, Holy. Woo! Come on, there's something sweeping. I feel ministering angels dispatched across this building. You will not walk home alone. You don't have to go to your city by yourself. Get your eyes off the terror on your city and get your eyes back on heaven. You didn't go there by accident. You went there by the anointing and the commission of God. And if you'll get your eyes off the world and keep your eyes on heaven, you'll remember this is not your battle. This is God's battle. Come on, is anybody homesick? Would you throw your hands towards heaven and try to picture heaven like we talked about it? Ah! Heaven! Falls of jasper. Streets of gold. In my Father's house are many mansions. Woo! If it wasn't so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place that where I am, you may be also. What I finish on the cross, I finish for your redemption. But your redemption will not be finished here on the earth. Woo! Your redemption will not be finished while you wear this flesh upon this soil, but your redemption process gets complete when you show up on that other shore one day. When I show up there to that place where John said, I heard as it were the voice of many people crying hallelujah and glory to God. I'm going to a place where there is no need for the sun. I'm going to a place where the apostles are already away. I'm going to a place where there will be no tears, where there will be no heartache. I'm going to a place where there will be no pain and no more sickness. I'm going to a place where there will be no more diabetes, no more cancer, no more turmoil, no more sickness, no more death. I'm going to a place on the other. It is the New Jerusalem. I'm going to a place where families don't break up and daddies don't walk away. I'm going to a place where molestation is not present. I'm going to a place where suicidal thoughts cannot enter. I'm going to a place where there is no oppression or torment. I'm going to a place one day called heaven.
For a few more minutes, I know that the call, the altar for worship has already been given. But for a few more minutes, can we just open our hearts to the voice of the Lord that is renewing that sense of eternity, the sense of purpose? This is what happened when I first came to church. What I heard was, this is not my home. And I wanted something better. What we have here is only temporal. Can we open our hearts for a few more minutes and to say, Lord, I'm ready for home. I'm getting ready for home. Help me to do the things that I must do to go home. Help me to clean my house. Because there's a journey in me. I must clean my house before I go. I want to make sure everything is ready. I want to make sure everything is in place. I want to take everything that I must take with me. Hallelujah. Because I cannot take anything that is temporal. I've got to take what counts.
While we know you love hearing the Mark sermons from years gone by on this podcast, if you think we're going to be posting every Mark sermon from this year, we hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you're wrong. If you want to catch all six preachers in just 2 days, you're going to have to attend Mark 2018 in Indianapolis, Indiana, September 6th and September 7th. For the schedule, speaker lineup, and hotel information, visit calvarytabindy.com/MARC. We look forward to seeing you at Mark 2018.